I'd like to introduce someone who's, in a very strange way, become special to me. And his name is Kyle Schneider. And he's become special to me because when I first met Kyle, he was shy and reticent, and he really didn't know what was going on, other than the fact that he certainly didn't want to go back to Iraq. He was 22. He had other dreams. He had dreams of finishing high school where he was recruited, and nobody in the United States wants to call it a poverty draft. And he served almost 4 months as a gunner on a Humvee military vehicle. He saw comrades and friends die before him. He's adjusting. As a matter of fact, we're going clubbing after this event tonight. But Kyle, as well as other resistors, worked so hard talking to the media, talking to us, and it's hard for them. It's hard to relive exactly what it is that they've left, and it's hard for them to relive what it's like to leave people that they know and love and come to this foreign country and hope that people like us will be there for them, and tens of thousands of more. Please give a warm, warm welcome to Kyle Schneider.
Can you guys hear me? Okay. First off, I wrote a little piece, really short, to honor Cindy Sheenan and her friend Michelle. I wanted to make it kind of special for both of them. I usually just get up here and start reading, so that's what I'm gonna do again. And I'm going to keep doing that until my voice is heard by as many people as it takes. So. So I'll start off with this. I'm honored to be in the presence today of Mrs. Sheehan and Michelle. Although I am lost with words yet again, I can try to express my gratitude through those lost words. What does someone like myself say to a woman who has lost part of herself as well? I can start with hello. I can start with was the trip comfortable for you? But all of that seems very, very trivial to me right now. And only because there are so many similar questions that we share. So much more serious questions to be raised to one another, and so many confusing questions of this man in power now. So instead, I'm going to start with a thank you. Thank you, Miss Sheehan, for your courage and for your strength. It fuels me, it fuels him, it fuels her. Casey Austin Sheehan, specialist, age 24. His name brings even a pause to this room, because it seems so strange to say his name with his mother present. I want to say, if the president will not honor your son, Casey, or yourself, I will. I want to say I will honor him in any way that I can. I want his friends home. I want his... I want his family comfortable again. I want his mother to have an answer for this lie. I want simple things again, because I believe it's possible. I'm going to read a speech I wanted Miss Sheehan to hear. This is actually the first speech I had ever written. And it was almost a year ago now since I've read it, so it's not exactly current or up to topic. I read it at a college called Capilano here in Vancouver, and I'm not sure if any of you have heard it already. If you have, I'm sorry. But I really wanted you to hear it. It's called The New Great Depression in America. I started off with the definition of depression. I start off with a lot of definitions. I gave the definition of that, and then I started my speech. To understand the state of America's depression today, in economy and religion, in povertized areas, in suburbs just outside of these areas, and all over the United States, we need to first understand America and how it came to be this way. As nations have long before America, lands and countries have been in one state of depression or another with the help of U.S. forces since Vietnam and decades before. I am only 22 and directly out of a povertized area of America, recruited directly out of completing a government program called Job Corps. I do not know every single issue, as it was not taught to me properly in the United States. I always believed and grew up believing we were the good guys. We were the G.I. Joes of the world. We were the heroes who could bring light to a world that cannot see the way the world can truly be. I honestly believed that load of crap. Anyhow, that's a completely different story. The reason I'm speaking today and have chose to come to this event is because I feel there are things within this world that I may never truly understand or even begin to explain. Things I have witnessed and remember and will have a permanent imprint on my life. It is how we remember these events that matter. Do we remember them for the right reasons? Do we remember them for a better persona of patriotism? Do we remember the horrific month called September? Not just in America, but also around the world. Or do we stand by and watch in horror as people are afraid for the wrong reasons? Afraid that their country really isn't what it was cracked up to be. An honest, loyal, ever-giving environment that all Americans, whether born in country and given that great right to be called American, or people who have fled from the evil reign of Hitler and his fiendish environment of genocide, they can all flourish in America. With great actors like Britney Spears and George Bush, how can we not? Americans can be that. All you have to do is dream. They call it the American dream for a reason, because it is, in fact, just that. But where do Americans go when they realize it was all a lie? And have solid proof of it every day? Flip a channel, it's everywhere. I don't see how we can glorify events like the invasion of Iraq, glorifying it as a place where westernized freedom can truly exist. Meanwhile, back at the Texas ranch, Mr. Bush is perfecting his oh-so-clever golf swing. Maybe he has a secret weapon to stop all of this hypocrisy in his caddy bag. I watched on September 11th as two commercial airlines crashed into two towers in New York, one at the Pentagon and one in the two towers. Thousands of people would die that day, 3,000 to be exact, according to Fox News, the only news channel that I received at the time where I lived. I looked over at my friend as it was being replayed over and over, for almost 2 months straight and now advertised like a Super Bowl on aired television. When my friend told me he was planning on joining the military, I looked at him and laughed. I wonder where he is now. Maybe he got caught up in it just like me. Only it took 2 years after the fact for a recruiter to come to where I had just received my high school diploma in Clearfield, Utah. Join the military, son. We have work for you in any field you like. And I could quote those words only because I went with the man to the malls where he recruited. Staff Sergeant Williamson, or I called him JT. His first name was Joel. It had to have been his favorite phrase. The sad thing is it worked. People bought into his charismatic approach and elegant military uniform. A true professional, right? I mean, come on, look at him. He dresses good. He's professional. He has to be the best.